Hey guys, welcome to the Gospel of John podcast. This is Lexis, and I'm in the studio with Rachel.
Hey guys.
And we're here to talk about the next week of curriculum. So last week, we talked about John 1, and we talked about how it's just basically an overview of everything that we're going to see in John. It's a whole roadmap of where we're going. But now, this week, we're talking about John 3. And the cool thing about this week is that Rachel and I actually wrote this week together.
Co-writers!
Kind of cute. So anyway, when we're talking about this week's scripture, John 3 is honestly one of my favorite scriptures from John. Mm-hmm. It's like actually really important to my walk with the Lord. Blake Morris, when I was going through 30-day journey, Blake used to be on staff, and 30-day journey is just like a 30-day intense prayer experience. And so he was praying over me during 30-day, and he prayed John 3, the wind blows where it pleases, over me. And that just, it hit so well in that moment. And since then, I've been so tied to this passage in so many ways.
That's awesome. So if you guys haven't read John 3 yet, it's okay.
Yeah.
This isn't okay school.
No,
we're not going to grade you, but maybe just go ahead, hit the little pause button, and we'll still be here in a few seconds. Just go read the scripture so that we're not like giving you all these spoilers about our dude, Nicodemus. So go ahead, press pause. And we're back.
Yay, you're back.
So we're going to talk about the scripture a little bit. So Lexis, maybe just give us a little bit of a recap for like the first part of John 3.
Yeah. So when we first come in to John 3, we see a Pharisee named Nicodemus come in. And he comes at night. He's coming to see Jesus. He has a lot of questions about who Jesus is. And the fact that a Pharisee is coming to ask questions of Jesus is a really big deal.
They never did that.
They literally never did that. They thought that Jesus was dumb. They're like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is?
They're always trying to like trick him.
Yeah, exactly. And so the fact that Nicodemus comes humbly to Jesus is like a really big deal. And they end up having this really awesome conversation. And there's really no resolve at the end of this passage about Nicodemus, but he walks away with this conversation that he had with Jesus. And then the next part is kind of where the most amazing scripture of all, John 3:16, comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so, you know, that is like a little transfer into the next section, which is about John the Baptist.
Yes. It almost kind of feels like this like skirt over. It's like, wait, we were just talking about this Pharisee.
Right.
And now we have this narrative about John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you guys got to this last week about the part in John 1 that talks about John the Baptist. I wasn't there. I'm so sorry. No, guys.
We didn't get into it.
Okay. So there's the prologue, and then it starts talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the guy who comes before Jesus and kind of like introduces the way for Jesus to come. And so John the Baptist is, he's there, he's baptizing people, he's proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And some of John the Baptist's disciples are like, whoa, this Jesus guy is here and he's baptizing more people than you, John the Baptist. Isn't that like the worst? And John the Baptist is like, no, that's amazing. Like, yeah. He has come and he's like, I'm not here to like be glorified and to baptize more people. I'm here to lead them to him and that he has come, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's this, honestly, we can learn so much about comparison from this. Like, are we looking at one another and comparing ourselves and like getting mad when someone else is like glorifying the Lord or like discipling all these people and like looking at ourselves and be like, well, am I not enough? You know?
Yeah. I think even that is just so easy to do your freshman year.
Oh yeah.
Like I remember my freshman year, I would get on Instagram and I would see all these people that I went to high school with posting about how much fun they were having in college. And I was like, I just simply am not having that much fun. Guys, this is actually so terrible. I would go on my own profile in Instagram and I would look through how many photos I had posted that fall semester. And then I would go back and look at my senior year of high school and see, like, count how many photos I had posted my fall semester. And it would be like way more my senior year than it was my freshman year of college. And I was like, this is just showing me everything I need to know that this year is terrible.
Oh no.
And so I was comparing against myself. I was comparing against other people, and it made first semester of freshman year literally terrible. So yeah. 10 out of 10, do not recommend comparison. Yeah, it's just not the best. But as we're kind of getting into the rest of this scripture, I think it was really fun to write this with Rachel because we both have just like different views on the scripture in general, like different mm-hmm. things stood out to us. And so I guess what I want to know is what stood out to you the most in this scripture.
So I love John. Obviously, we all love him. Yeah. He like wrote this beautiful gospel about Jesus and some letters that you can also read later. Yeah. But he uses this beautiful imagery of light and darkness. And you guys got to read that last week. Mm-hmm. It talked about Jesus being the light. And there's this verse that says, there's a light in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. And that has been a verse that has stuck with me for so long. Like, it's been a verse that, like, even in like hectic moments or like really hard times of life, like that's a verse that's really stuck with me, or that I've like prayed for other people mm-hmm. When they're just like in really dark seasons of life. And so like anytime I see like the light and dark imagery that John gives, I get like really excited. And it's here, and like it's almost like a little hidden in some ways because
it's like an Easter egg.
Yeah. Because Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Mm. And he comes to Jesus at night because he's ashamed or like embarrassed, doesn't want his friends to see him going to Jesus, which like maybe some of you guys can relate to that. You don't want
yeah.
your friends or people, your families, people you know, you don't want them to see you going to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus and doesn't know that he's going to have light shone upon him because in John 1, we learn Jesus is the light,
yeah.
you know, and it's just such a beautiful image. And I love the story of Nicodemus. He's like the only, like one of the only people, if not the only person that we see the fruition of his discipleship later on
yeah.
in John.
Yeah, that's in like John 7, 40 through 52. There's not that many times that we get to see the where are they now
yeah.
kind of thing. But then Nicodemus like stands up for Jesus to the other Pharisees. It's like a really subtle way,
yeah.
but he does it.
Yeah.
And that even shows us like that the conversation he had with Jesus must have been impactful because yeah. he would not have said that had he not been impacted in some way, mm-hmm. which is really cool. My favorite part about this passage, I already talked about it a little bit with like Blake Morris and how he spoke verse 8 over me, but I want to read verse 8. It says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And that is just, I read it every single time and I'm convicted.
Yeah.
Because so often I want to have control. Like, and I don't even realize how much I want to have control until all of a sudden I'll be like, wow, I'm really trying to control things. Like even waking up in the morning and like I'll in my head plan out how the day is going to go. I'll be like, okay, so like at this time I'll do this. And then at that time I'll do this. And then this will happen. And then that'll happen. And then we'll be great. And then literally one thing happens at the beginning of the day and it just ruins the whole entire mm-hmm. schedule. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? I mean, like I'm such a, like a planner, but like I'm learning more and more because of this verse. And when it was spoken over me, my junior year, learning more and more that I really just don't have control over things. And mm-hmm. that like the wind is going to blow where it pleases, AKA the Holy Spirit is going to blow where it pleases. And if I want to be living life by the Holy Spirit, then I need to be okay with my plans getting messed up from mm-hmm. time to time and just being willing to roll with it. Okay, this didn't go how I thought it was going to go, but we're just going to roll with it and we can make adjustments and it's mm-hmm. going to be great. And when I have that kind of attitude of, you know what, we're just going to roll with it, everything is so much better. I'm not as stressed. I'm not as anxious. It's totally fine. And so this verse has been super instrumental in my life.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Conviction City over here.
I love that.
Yeah. I think too, we We talked a little bit about John 3:16.
Do you have it memorized?
I have it memorized, but I don't want to say it because I'm afraid that I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, like, there's so many people listening to this who will call you out. Yeah,
like, exactly. I have this, like, super great, like, memorization tool app thing on my phone. And even the verses that, like, I technically have memorized, I'll, like, go through and, like, practice them. And I'll get them wrong. And I'm like, it's been so long of me memorizing this. Wait, is it called
Verses?
No, it's called Scripture Typer.
Oh, okay, there's two then.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I definitely recommend it. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Sounds right to me.
I think it's right. You guys can check me on it. I mean, it
depends on the translation. Yeah, that's truly. That's what you can...
I mean, that is the idea of the whole entire verse is right there. But I think that we quote this all the time and it becomes this thing that we become callous to as we become like Christians who've walked for a long time in our faith. Yeah. And so I don't know, Rachel, if you want to talk about why it's not just 3:16, like there's more to it than just that verse.
Yes. Well, like I think that verse is beautiful and I think there's a reason why we've memorized it. Like literally so much of the gospel is like pieced together in that verse, but it's not all of the gospel that's peace in that verse. And we start to believe that it's the whole gospel. Like the whole, like we don't just have a New Testament and there's a reason for that. Like the story of scripture and the story of humanity and the salvation story starts in Genesis.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge story to be told. And there's the beginning parts of that story of like human sin, like that is so essential to understanding salvation, because why do we need it?
Yeah.
Because we're depraved, you know?
Yeah.
Because of Adam and Eve and what happened, you know? And if we think about John 3 and only think of John 3:16, this is like another angle to think about it, then we completely miss the story of Nicodemus and all that we can learn about like knowledge and like, is knowledge more important than like our heart posture and so much, you know?
Yeah. And then you also miss out on John the Baptist being like, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And the fact that he's baptizing more people, that's great. Like, that's what we need.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so much more to this passage than just focusing on that one verse and cherry picking it out. Mm-hmm. And so I love that we're talking about just more than that little section. Because we could have just talked about John 3:16 through 21.
Yeah.
But we didn't, you know? So I love that there's more to it than that. Yeah. I guess like as we're kind of closing up, what's just a practical way that we can walk away from this scripture for you?
I was just thinking of being for one another. Mm. Like when we think about John the Baptist, I'm going to read a couple verses. Okay. Let me find them real quick. Okay, so in 3:29 and 30, he says, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." Mm. And I just think it's so beautiful, like how aware John the Baptist is that like, I must become less so that Jesus can become more. And like, that's a posture for ourselves. Like we become less so that Jesus can become more because he just like overcomes our life, you know, because of the great joy that we have in him. And like, he literally says like, it is now complete because of Jesus being there. Like he's not like jealous of Jesus' success. He's like taking joy in it.
Yeah.
And I would love for us to be a community that we are taking joy in each other's successes and that we are taking joy that like other people are discipling others or other people are doing what XYZ leadership role or whatever.
Yeah. I even think about a couple of years ago, we went to a leadership retreat. And all the girls were together and we were like, if you win, I'm winning. Like if you have a great group and it's going really well, then that means that I'm winning too because the kingdom is growing larger.
Yeah.
So yeah, just having that mindset. That's
great. It's a kingdom focus.
Yeah. Kingdom mindset. I love it. For me, I think that it just does keep going back to that verse 8 of, you know, where the wind blows, it just blows where it pleases. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does. And so if we want to know the Holy Spirit, we have to invite him in. And so that looks like being intentional. Like I remember my freshman year, my freshman and sophomore year, the biggest thing I prayed was, Lord, show me your presence. Like, I just wanted to see what he was doing, and I felt like I couldn't see it. And the thing is, he was there the whole entire time doing things. I just literally couldn't see it. And so asking him to like open my eyes, open my ears to see it. I think even a good like recommendation is to just set like little reminders on your phone that pop up and say, show me your presence or something like that, that reminds you to be praying intentionally throughout your day for the Holy Spirit to come in and reveal things to you. Because if we're living like that, asking the Holy Spirit to keep talking to us, then he's going to. And that's like what we want to be living our lives in anyway. So I think that's what I would say too about practical application.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to chat with Rachel this week. Thanks. And spoiler alert, we'll be chatting again next week when you come back. So if you're wanting to hear about John 4 and the woman at the well, guess who'll be here talking about it next week?
We will.
All right. Well, we will see you guys later. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us as we talk about John 3.
Bye.